The university tower chimes frigidly ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the Polar Vortex radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in a frigid session of questions and frigid answers. I'm your host, Frozen Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for the 50,000th day in a row that it has been negative 10 when I wake up. From the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry, it's Professor Kendra Evans.
Hello.
How are you enjoying your poonchki?
That thing is good. It's my second poonchki ever.
Wow.
And it's really good. It's really good.
So it
also was nice that it followed a donut, which was also delicious. By moving in finally to the southeastern Michigan region.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Now I notice you've got these sort of like haphazard orange frosting on top, which means what?
This, I don't know what the orange means, but inside...
Apricot.
Apricot.
I've also heard it as apricot. Yes, exactly.
Apricot.
That's great. I think that it's an odd calendar this year. We do have Ash Wednesday and therefore Mardi Gras during winter. And we had poonchki to celebrate way ahead of time, way ahead of time this year. We had a Fat Thursday, basically, is what I heard people talking.
But I guess in Poland,
that's what we're told.
That's right, not just that, but...
Thursday before.
Yeah, my Chaldean students always remind me that it starts on the Sunday before Ash Wednesday in the Syriac church, so they do not even get a Mardi Gras.
Lent starts early?
So starting on Sunday, it's time to buckle down, and most of the Chaldean traditions are constant fasting.
I saw that on my desk calendar, that the Eastern churches start on Sunday.
Yeah. Yep.
No beads for them.
No beads.
No earning them either.
Yep, it's kind of interesting. Wow. Professor Chow, were there poonchki down at the College for Creative Studies?
And they bring them in by the truckload.
Mm. Awesome. And of course, they're all coming out of Hamtown, right?
Uh-huh, of course, fresh.
Absolutely fresh.
It's in the cafeteria. They usually bring about... 8 to 10 boxes.
Oh, wow. Dozen, basically.
No. Boxes, trays. We're talking
okay. That's a lot of poonchki.
Wow. It's free for the entire student body or whoever walks by.
Whoa.
Oh, cool. Man.
Darn right.
Sounds good to me. Across the table from me, Professor Jason Roach from Communication Studies. How's it going, Jay?
Great. I've been cold, but I think I'm colder than you because if you wake up and it's minus 10, that's only Celsius.
Yeah, well, you know, it's
true. I wake up when it's minus 10 in real degrees, so it's even colder.
Sissy
stuff. I'm not a scientist.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, though. I think that...
when are we going to drop to Kelvin?
Oh, please. You know... we need a universal temperature scale, and there's about 4 or 5 out there. It makes things very confusing.
Hot, cold.
If you ever hear people talking about degrees rayom, let me know. If the engineers were here, they'd
know
what I mean.
You'll be the first I'll contact.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, Scoville.
continually going clockwise down the table, we have Professor Todd Hibbert is here from Religious Studies. Good to have you back.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Is this your mug you brought?
This is my mug.
I was trying to read the side. Oh, that looks like...
This sort of code. Cuneiform.
Oh.
It is the beginning of the old Babylonian myth, Enuma Elish.
Nice. Very cool.
Which is an epic of creation.
Very cool.
The original graffiti.
Yeah, exactly.
So I would like for you to all work on your cuneiform.
I will do my best.
Cuneiform for Once Upon a Time.
Yeah. When the gods on high.
Oh, wow. Yes. Wow. From a distance, if you forgive my pop culture knowledge, it looked like the alien writing from the Futurama animated show. And you know what? Maybe it's even based
on
that.
It might be the same thing.
Yeah, it might be.
It is possible. They knew their stuff. There's a bunch of nerds writing that show, so I wouldn't be surprised if they based it on. Professor Jim Tubbs is here. All he's got is a bottle of Dasani. That's good enough to wash down the poonchki.
Good enough to... Well, yeah, it takes 2 or 3 of these to wash down the poonchki.
Right. That is true.
I just saw online today that Time magazine has said that the city of Detroit has had the most miserable winter of any urban area.
It's true. Absolutely.
I saw that I think on CNN.
Yeah.
Not good.
We're number one.
Number one in misery.
And I know that I'm going to regret saying this. I know what sound you're going to make when I do, but... You know, we're only about 11 inches away from the snowiest season in historic, record. So let's just go for it.
Well, we've got who knows how many more polar vortices may come and settle over us. This is the third.
Bonus points for the plural of vortex. Bonus points. Excellent. I know Professor Chuck Hokett is here, too, from Information Technology Services. Thanks for bringing your donuts. Of course, thanks, Professor Chow, for bringing Lunchies. Donuts as well.
Lunchies.
No, you're right. So how are things holding up in your office? Do you have nice temperature control over there, Chuck?
No, it's freezing.
Okay.
My own heater.
I think that's one thing we have in common here is lack of temperature control.
I don't think it's
No thermostat.
Well, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything, cold or warm. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you send us questions about warm things, we might find you and make you hurt for a little while.
We spoon well.
You can send the questions to us in a number of ways, rather. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166 or send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. We have a penned letter here. Dear professors, I want to thank you for reading my two previous sets of holiday questions, Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's greatly appreciated, and we occasionally go back and listen to those episodes for laughs. We're always amazed at how you can take simple questions from listeners and seem to have so much fun with them. We're very good actors. I don't have any holiday questions this time around, but I've managed to rustle up some questions in all sorts of categories. I figured the variety seemed to challenge the entire panel and keeps everyone wondering what will come next. I can't guarantee anything, but I can definitely do some research on any topic the profs or producers might want for a future broadcast. My way of saying thanks for keeping us so entertained. May you find the following questions challenging and fun. Sincerely, I nearly said severely. Sincerely, Laura Benson of Missoula, Montana. So thank you so much, Laura. That's very, very nice. And
it's cold there, too.
Yeah, what kind of questions?
Thinking of a subject matter, you know, anything that generates warmth would be nice. I think we have a lot of people who know baseball on this panel. Mm-hmm. Spring training. Ooh, yeah. Stories of the equinox. Sugar. I have no idea. Something. Something
absolute
that makes us think spring. Absolute temperatures.
Cuneiform doc.
Go bring nuts. It on. Go nuts. Okay, so we have a number of questions here. She didn't say what's passing.
One.
And we'll use the grading scale for these 20 questions that my students use the day before spring break, which is called Don't Come to Class. Number one, which member of Monty Python earned a law degree?
John Cleese.
It was John Cleese, absolutely. It's kind of, you know, sort of a reasonable
he
answer.
He looks
right?
Sort of Esquire-like, yes.
I don't exactly know how he's applying that
hair,
law degree.
Hair title, just
a powdered wig.
Yeah. A powdered wig,
yes. And a robe.
Yep. You know, John Cleese, I just learned the other day, because I was a pretty big Monty Python fan growing up, just made it to Twitter a couple years ago, and he only tweets one thing. Every couple weeks, I'm not dead. And his handle is John Cleese, but underneath it for a description of who he is, it's still not dead.
Still not dead.
I'm going to use this for the most important thing that it's there for.
The first year of Saturday Night Live, every week they reported that Generalissimo Francisco Franco is still dead.
Still, yes, exactly. That's right. What are the six noble gases?
Oh, they're on your tie, aren't they?
They are.
Uh-oh, hold on.
Argon?
Helium.
Argon.
Yes. Hold on, this is Kendra's.
Neon.
Krypton.
I'm out. Kryptonite.
I would never have guessed krypton.
No. One that starts with the letter X.
Xenon.
And the one that actually is
I'm afraid of that one.
Found in pockets in the earth and can actually kill a family, unfortunately, if you don't have a
radon.
Yes. Helium, neon, argon, xenon, radon, and krypton. And what does it mean, Kendra, that they are the noble gases?
You mean being particularly inert?
Inert, yep.
Oh,
yep. Okay. I believe the old chemist joke goes, neon walks into a bar, the bartender says, get the heck out of here, and neon doesn't react.
We don't serve your kind.
Exactly. Noble gases. Noble from the old school meaning inert. Let's see. What was the TV show called Checking In spun off from?
Checking In?
It was a vehicle for the maid from a different series.
Jefferson's?
Good Times?
It was Jefferson's, actually.
Yeah, the only show I can think of that had a maid.
Yep.
Well, outside of Brady Bunch.
It was a vehicle for Florence, who had explained she had accepted a job being a maid at a luxury hotel. The show was canceled in less than half a season. She returned to the Jeffersons under the premise that the hotel she had worked for had burned down. You gotta work it in.
I can remember her. She and George had some great face-offs.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I'm sure probably. Yeah, Florence, did you burn down the hotel?
I love how the spun-off from show was still on, so then we'll just take you right back. You know, I wonder if that's ever happened before, and sounds about right. What is the sunniest city in America if we count the number of days that you get full sun?
It's not Detroit.
It's not Philadelphia.
Phoenix.
It's in the Southwest.
Miami? Oh,
Not Phoenix, but it's close to Phoenix. Not Tucson.
Scottsdale.
Is it in Arizona?
It's in Arizona, yes.
Flagstaff?
I believe, oh gosh, I hope I don't get this wrong because it would be a great detriment to Dutch himself, Dutch Leonard. But I want to say that he was part. He was partial to this town. Starts with the letter Y. He wrote a story. It was Yuma. Didn't he write a story that took place in Yuma?
Yes.
Yuma, Arizona.
So we got 5'10
to Yuma. 3'10 to Yuma.
It turned into a movie.
That was a good movie.
It's way, way down at the border of Mexico.
Oh, we forgot to look up at the map.
Pretty sunny. I cannot read a single thing off of that map, so I'll take whatever you guys say.
Be colorblind.
Let's do the random tap on the button at Wikipedia because it's fun. What is the sunniest city on the planet Earth based on number of days that it gets sun? And this is absolutely fascinating.
Rio de Janeiro?
It is not Rio.
Is it on the equator?
It's not on the equator.
Yuma, Arizona?
It's Yuma, Arizona. With an exclamation point. Yuma, Arizona has almost every single day of the year the sun shows. Almost every single day of the year. Well, that's a lot of days.
It shines here, too. We just have clouds obscuring it. That's awesome.
See, man, but they don't get polar.
In contrast, British, I love to listen to British weathercasters, you know, on television, because they'll say, well, we're going to have scattered sunshine later this week.
I've always wondered what the difference between partly cloudy and partly sunny is. But, yeah, we talked about this before. Yeah.
Perspective.
Right.
Optimism.
Optimism,
pessimism. Yes.
What singer has a perfume from her company, her marketing company, called Lollipop Bling?
Beyonce?
Not Beyonce, but you're in, half a generation before
Britney
Beyonce
Spears.
There
Queen
was.
Queen Latifah.
Not Queen Latifah.
TLC?
Nope. Not TLC, nope.
That's not a singer.
It's just an individual singer. Huh. She married very, very young man. Very young man.
Really?
Someone who, it just sort of creeps me out to think he's like, I was a big fan when I was a little kid, and now I'm married to her. Sort of like that Tom Cruise, Katie Holmes thing, you know? Hmm. Initials M.C.
M.C.
Hammer? Is Mariah Carey.
Absolutely.
Really?
Lollipop.
Who did she marry that was young?
I thought she was married to that producer that was super mean to her.
That is also possible, but she's married to Nick Cannon right now, and he's only, I think he's in his late 20s.
Was he from a boy band?
My age. No, he's the host of America's Got Talent, is who Nick Cannon is. He's a young man.
A show that is, in fact, counterfactual.
Well, I think a few of Madonna's husbands have been young, haven't they?
A few.
Yeah, they had to get carded. That's fine.
Sure, I'll buy it. What is the American equivalent to a Japanese tiger box? It's a slang term. And they say you've been thrown in the tiger box. What's happened to you?
Jail?
Jail, but specifically because you were misbehaving in a certain way.
A psych ward kind of?
Not a psych ward. Getting closer with every step.
Drinking?
Drunk. The drunk tank. The
drunk tank.
The tiger box. It almost makes you feel like, well, back in the day, we put a tiger in there too and see if that sobered you up.
It kept me warm at night.
Oh, my. As long as it isn't the tiger of, like, Justin Verlander wearing those red pants, I think we're going to be all set. Yeah. In boxing lingo, what's a mouse?
It's a bruise, isn't it? Like over the
eye?
Like
a little cut over there.
It's the one over the eye, the bruise where their eye
closes. The protrusion that kind of, looks god-awful?
Sure. I'll buy that. That's a mouse. Makes perfect sense to me. I wonder why it got that nickname. What city had the first six-screen multiplex movie theater in 1969. So that is a big deal instead of just your standard one-screen bijou.
L.A.?
Hollywood?
It was the exact opposite of wherever you guys are thinking it is.
Like somewhere out in New Jersey?
Milwaukee?
Or
New York?
Maine?
New York?
Nope. And when I say opposite, I do not mean coast.
Oh. Elkhart, Indiana?
You're getting closer. I believe you may have stayed at some point. I know you lived in the state, Professor Evans.
Where were you?
Lexington, Kentucky.
Not Lexington.
Keep going.
Louisville.
Nope, not Louisville.
But Kentucky. We are in the right state.
You're in the wrong state. I'm sorry. Okay. There's another state in your past.
Lincoln, Nebraska.
Close. It's Omaha.
Omaha. That's the first six-screen multiplex. That's the real place. By the way, since I was on last week, 2 weeks ago, the question about Valentine, Nebraska, not anywhere close to I-80 and not anywhere close to Omaha.
Oh, really?
Yeah, actually, okay. Just right on the border of South Dakota.
Okay.
Since that's I was right. wrong, just thought I needed to address that.
Sure. Oh, okay. Well, you redeemed yourself by bringing us the most progressive movie, you know, theater complex in 1969, being in Omaha. That's a big deal.
Six screens?
Tell you what, count the screens while we take a break. And we are back with some fantastic questions from Laura Benson of Missoula, Montana. Let's continue here. What was the name of the spokes zebra for fruit stripe gum? He actually had a name. I love this.
Wow, I remember those commercials.
Yeah, yeah. I remember the character.
Yep. Yeah.
He had a name.
If you remember the tagline from the commercial, you might divine the spokes zebra's name.
Zach?
Not Zach, although that makes perfect sense.
It's not Spock.
Does not start with a Z. It's not Spock.
Stripe?
It's not Stripe, but you're getting closer.
Solids.
I believe the old jingle was blank stripes, fruit, stripe, gum. That's the way it went.
Yipes.
Yipes. Absolutely. Yipes.
That's got them. You're right. Stripes and fruit, stripe, gum.
Do they still make that? Listen. Yeah, they yipes, do. Stripes, it's great.
Different flavors. Get beach nut, fruit, stripe, gum. Yep.
My word. That's awesome. Yipes. The spoke zebra. I think spoke zebra should be in the next dictionary.
Maybe Laura should send our next questions as jingles from commercials. Yeah, I think we could sing them.
It'll be Jim all the way, just like the Christmas carol. Just like the Christmas carol.
I can draw the characters, but I can't sing it.
Just warming up.
The first slogan that this brand of toilet paper had in 1935 was guaranteed splinter-free.
What was toilet paper like before that?
I think it's not Scott.
Charmin?
It's not Charmin. Oh.
Angel Soft.
Not Angel Soft, no.
What's that one with the lines on it?
The lines?
You know, it has lines. It's like a little bit like pinstripe. Yeah, what is that called?
I'm trying to think of what the logo for the... It's a sort of a rather pedantic name for the company. NT are the two starting letters. Well, the T stands for tissue.
Northern Tissue.
Northern is exactly correct.
Splinter-free Northern.
Man. I'm
really glad to hear that.
I don't know what to say.
That's one way to separate yourself from the rest of the competition, I guess.
In the beginning days, long before Mad Men, we just had the slogan, say the truth. Oh, my.
I've been in some European bathrooms where I'm not sure the paper was entirely splinter-free.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Didn't they do the Olympics? Okay, we're not riding bikes anytime soon. Oh, boy.
Who was the first football player who appeared on a Wheaties box? Pretty famous football player.
Bart Starr.
John Unitas.
It wasn't Marino. It wasn't Unitas.
O.J. Simpson.
Not Simpson.
Burt Jones.
The Kansas City guy?
Not the Kansas City guy.
Kansas City guy.
California one.
Joe Montana. California one.
Joe Namath.
No Namath, no Montana.
Hmm. What era?
Although we did get a lot of Joe Namath
in the
Super
Bowl
this year. Elway?
Joe Green.
What era?
Not Unitas.
Jim Brown.
The year era would be, I want to make sure I get this right, I'm thinking 60s here. Could be early 70s. Played for the Chicago Bears.
Dick Butkus.
Oh, Dick Butkus.
Not Butkus, but...
Mike Ditka?
Not Mike Ditka.
No, he coached him.
Initials WP.
Walter Payton.
Yeah, 60s era? Late 70s.
70s.
My bad. My uncle-in-law, who played for the Bills during the 70s, is going to kill me.
Do you know who Walter Payton is?
I'm like, I know who he is. I just don't know when he was on the Wheaties box. Okay. What nationality?
Who was your uncle-in-law?
Paul Seymour played for the Buffalo Bills during the O.J. Simpson, actually, era during the 70s.
Wow.
And he played for Michigan and then played for the Bills. So he has some interesting stories to tell about O.J.
I bet.
Very interesting stories. What nationality is singer Shirley Bassey?
English.
She's not English. That's not what it says here, at least.
Oh.
Although she hails from the British Isles.
Wales.
Welsh.
Welsh. Yeah. She is Welsh. Every Welshman and Welshwoman ever born has excellent singing voice. That's the rule of thumb. Tom Jones, right?
Actually, Matt, did you see who Tom Jones opening for now?
Who's
Morrissey.
That? Really?
Yeah.
Well,
the touring across the country, he's opening for
like
Morrissey.
That's a reasonable combination there, huh?
Sure.
You go from your highs to your lows. That concert. That's all I've got to say.
You're a man of the 80s.
Your optimism is short-lived.
Only about an hour. What John Ford movie featured John Wayne, Shirley Temple, who sadly just passed away, and Henry Fonda?
Shirley Temple and John Wayne. That must have been
only one movie that those two were in together. Yeah. And a young Henry Fonda, apparently.
Oh.
Never. I mean, I've heard of this movie, but I've never seen
it. Was it a Western?
It sounds like it was. Yep.
It's about Annie Oakley?
It's a two-word title, F-A. And the first word is Fort.
Fort Apache.
Fort Apache. You guys jumped right on it. Absolutely. So what role is Shirley Temple playing in a gritty old Western?
She was probably the commandant's little child that everybody loved.
Sure.
The daughter of the regiment, so to speak.
It makes perfect sense to me. Very sad to see Shirley Temple Black pass away.
Yeah,
although she was set 95, 96.
No. She was 85.
Really?
85 or 86. She was about my mother's age.
Okay. Wow. That's incredible.
She was a classy lady, though.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Who was the host of The Daily Show before its most recent extended run with Jon Stewart at the helm?
Craig Kilborn,
absolutely. And everybody forgets
Craig Kilborn.
I loved it with Craig Kilborn.
Yeah.
Not that I don't
him?
Like it with Jon Stewart.
Who knows? More importantly, who cares?
Oh, no, but do you remember he was on ESPN for the longest time, and then he jumped onto that, and then...
Yeah.
He had a very distinct humor, is all I remember.
Yeah,
it was very, very amazing.
Very distinct.
Very watchable back in the day. In cowboy slang, we're doing a little bit of a jump here. What's a California prayer book?
Bible?
Not a Bible. That would make sense. Mm.
And a California one on top
California
of that.
Bible. California Bible.
The California Bible is exactly the same as a regular Bible, but it has a warning on the front that it may cause cancer. This Bible, known to the state of California, to cause several forms of,
as opposed to the Arizona one.
What's a California prayer book? Obviously, it seems it's going to have a little bit of a sarcasm to it, right?
A map?
Something you might need to pray over?
Mixed drinks?
Not
like
mixed
ingredients
drinks.
For mixed drinks?
It's not necessarily a book, but it's something made of paper.
A prayer rug? No, that's paper.
Nope.
Is it splinter-free paper?
You know, I'm going to take down some notes because I don't know. No, it's not a newspaper.
An arrest
either.
Warrant?
No.
A wanted poster.
It says here that it's a deck of playing cards. It's a California prayer book.
California prayer book.
So say your prayers. Let's see what happens.
Maybe a Las Vegas prayer book.
Please, Lara, do not send us a 20-question set about cowboy stuff. I think we're not going to do very well. In what city was the Packard Motor Company founded? I'll let you know that it moved to Detroit in 1902, so there's an easy hint for you.
Was it Indianapolis?
Wasn't Indianapolis.
St. Louis?
Not St. Louis.
Got to be somewhere Midwest.
Yeah, it's definitely in the Midwest.
Ohio somewhere?
It's in Ohio.
Cleveland.
Same name as, from what I understand, because I always get this wrong, it was in Ohio, the third largest city in the state of Michigan?
Warren.
Warren, Ohio is where the Packard Motor Company
is. I was thinking Pontiac, Lansing, Saginaw.
Detroit, Grand Rapids, Warren. Those are the biggest cities in the state of Michigan. We're number three. I don't know. Cities about the size of the county, if you look at it. Who famously took a three-hour tour to write his book, Fun with Ferns? I was so assuming.
Oh, the professor on Gilligan's Island.
Roy Hinckley. Roy Hinckley Jr. He was writing a book. I never heard the thing about the book before.
I didn't either. That's what threw me.
But what are you doing on a boat, though? It doesn't make sense. It's not like you're doing research on a boat.
Inspiration.
You can make a coconut Nintendo system,
but he can't fix a boat.
Can't fix a hole in a boat.
Can't get a radio boost. Can't boost the signal.
He just died recently.
Down to two now.
Who's left?
Gillen just died, didn't he?
No, Marianne and Ginger.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Let's see. What city was the original, now we have to say it that way, the original 1987 RoboCop movie filmed in?
It was supposed to be Detroit, but I know it wasn't shot here.
It was not shot here. They did use footage, it says, but it
was
flyby and stock film for the streets of Detroit.
Gary, Indiana.
It wasn't Gary.
Was it Toronto, Vancouver?
No, it wasn't Canada.
Flint?
Way down south.
Oh. Atlanta.
Not Atlanta, even souther.
New Orleans.
Miami.
Nope, not Miami, but not New Orleans either.
Hold on, look at
the map. It's in the state of Texas.
Dallas.
Dallas, Texas stood in for Detroit, Michigan, or what I believe they called Cloud City or something.
Okay, sure.
In the original RoboCop movie. We should be seeing our RoboCop giant statue coming out soon. Right?
They make a remake of it too, right?
Yeah, it just came out.
Yeah,
it was like down the middle in terms of reviews. Anybody see it?
No.
No.
There you go. All I needed to hear.
Yeah, we voted with our wallets, obviously.
From within a Boeing 747's cockpit. This is Lara's last question, by the way, Professor. So.
Send more.
Yeah, please do. From within a Boeing 747's cockpit, how many engines can be observed directly by the pilot?
Two.
It's not two. It's lower.
Zero.
Zero is what the answer says here. That's interesting that you would have.
That's a lovely thought.
That understanding of what's going on.
I would
with
think
the
outboard engines would be visible, but I guess the wings are pretty swept back.
They don't have the side view mirror or something else.
Right.
But the mirror just looks larger and larger.
Well, the right up in front of that egg.
It looks larger on the mirror.
Yes. Objects in the mirror are closer than they think.
You left the blinker on.
Quite a while ago, Kimberly Richards had sent us in a pretty interesting set of questions that was all about people who may or may not have been, pardon me, we're going off on a tangent here, originally offered the parts. You guys remember we did a few of these a while back? I was wondering if we might knock off a couple more of those while we finish up today's show. Thank you for sending all these. Kimberly actually sent us just pages and pages of these, and getting through them all has been pretty fascinating, actually. So to let you guys know, because we were just talking about these three characters, just talking about them, they were originally offered to Jane Mansfield, Dabney Coleman, and Raquel Welch.
Gilligan's Island.
Ginger the Professor and Marianne. Those were the original cast.
Dabney Coleman as the Professor?
Dabney Coleman as the Professor.
He's too acidic.
Pretty crazy. Okay, so who are the others? Raquel Welch is Ginger.
Raquel Welch, but you know, Raquel Welch could have floated off anywhere she needed to go.
Raquel Welch.
Personal flotation device.
She could have been Marianne.
The boat wouldn't have sunk.
She was going to be Marianne. It was James Mansfield that was going to be the fated star. Yes.
I was going to say, it wasn't going to be Mrs. Howell. I mean...
Although they obviously went in a completely different direction with Ginger. So, yeah, pretty interesting. Lyle Wagner was the original offering for the part that ended up being taken, famously,
Batman.
By Adam West. That's right.
I saw the screen test.
You did?
What is that like? It looks pretty bizarre. They've got it on YouTube right now, you know, one of the screen tests.
Wow.
Really?
Wow. For the original TV series.
Yeah, with Lyle Wagner playing role of Batman.
That even before he was on Carol Burnett?
Yeah.
Wow. This one sort of took me back because I finally, after 10 years of having children of multiple different ages, but the oldest being 10, sat them down and watched this movie the other day, realizing they had never seen it before. It's a quote-unquote fan-favorite children's classic, but W.C. Fields was going to be standing behind a curtain to play...
The Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz.
That
would have been interesting.
If he was sober.
Yeah, well, I mean, you would have pulled the curtain to the side and seen him tipping back, you know, that sort of thing. It's. I knew sooner or later that bell was going to ring, and unfortunately that means we have to say goodbye, Professor Hokett.
Goodbye.
Professor Tubbs.
Goodbye.
Professor Hibbard.
Adios.
Professor Roach.
Have a happy one.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Evans.
Bye-bye.
And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Adam Winbigler, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.